movement of joy. So I'm glad you get a chance to see it for yourself. Worship is meant to be enjoyed. And thank you for your sharing in that. And thank you, Grant, for your sharing in that as well. Bless you. The scripture passage that comes out of the New Testament for us is from Mark. Mark's been kind of the focus of this particular liturgical year. And it comes from the 9th chapter, meaning the 2nd verse. Listen to hear what might be said to you. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and led them up into a high mountain, apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud they went, there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." And suddenly when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore but Jesus alone. And as they were coming down from the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had been risen from the dead. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Have any of you ever hesitated to do something that was a challenge? Anyone not hesitate for doing something that's a challenge? It's a very natural thing for us as human beings to see something in front of us that is we've never done before, not sure exactly how to do, and we hesitate ever so briefly. It's the Olympics. And one of the downhill skiers was asked this question. What do you think of when you're standing at the chute ready to begin down this very steep hill? And he said, "I think of mortality." He said, "I think of my life. And I think about the fact that if there were no other competitors up here going to join me and take their turn in shooting through this chute and heading down this hill at 85 and 90 miles an hour, I wouldn't go." He has enough sense of himself to say, "I would, with great reservation and hesitation, choose on my own, just for the fun of it, to go down a hill at 80 to 90 miles an hour on ice." There are times where we hesitate. There are times we are a little cautious, a little more reserved at whether we're willing to risk something. For me, it came out in a very kind of odd way, in that I grew up the youngest of 3 sons, and my father was a Methodist pastor. And occasionally, someone would come up to us and say to us, "So which one of you are going to follow in your father's footsteps?" And at that point, just like the military, I'd take one step back and leave my 2 brothers in the front. Because surely, of all the choices one could have in their life, that's not one I'm making. You can see how well that worked out for me. Early in my years, it was not uncommon for me to roam around the church. I had a key that I could use, and I could go over there anytime I wanted. And I would kind of explore and see what was there. Some things old, some things new. But sometimes on vacations, I would just get this urge, I don't know what else does, get this urge to clean out the education closet. Because one day when I went to help out with a science group class and I began to open the door, the whole thing almost fell over me. Because nobody had done anything to it for weeks, maybe years. It was not uncommon for me in a small church, I grew up in churches of 100 and less members, to be the one who literally by myself set up the tables and chairs for a church dinner. I learned how to do that. It takes a little bit of an art. Was also the one who didn't mind Saturday morning going over with my father to help run off on the Spirit Master The bulletins for that Sunday. To let them dry, then to fold them, and to have them ready for the next day. These are things I just kind of enjoyed. And before worship, I'd run around and say hi to people. And when worship is over, I'd say hi to people and pick up some bulletins. You know, it seemed that everyone knew and understood that I was probably being called to be involved in church work. Everyone except me. And for me, I had great hesitation. Matter of fact, when I felt God's call, I fought it. Feverishly. Because I thought, I know what that's about, and I don't want to do that. But somehow God has God's way with you. Sometimes God just persists. God sees something in you that you don't see in yourself, and God draws you towards it. To experiment with it, to try it out, to take a chance, to not hesitate, to not have any reservations about it, but literally boldly go forth to see what God may do with you. Has anyone had that occasion? Where God is working something inside you that you just can't resist? It's too appealing or too tantalizing or too exciting or filled with too many possibilities to pass it up, and so we choose to explore it for a time. Try some things and realize that isn't it, but try other things and say, that's it. That's what I want to do. That's what I have joy in doing. And that's what God desires for each and every one of us. There are stories for all of us of times when we were a bit hesitant. Times we paused. The stories today are interesting in the scriptures because in the Old Testament, you get a person named Elijah, who was a follower of Elijah, one of the greatest prophets in all of history. And he was unqualifiedly devoted to Elijah. He followed Elijah everywhere Elijah went. And even in this circumstance, when they both knew that he was going off to a mission he would not return from, and I love the interpretation that Grant chose by using Good News, which says instead of, please be silent, don't tell me that, it's like, let's not talk about it. Have you ever had occasions like that where you just said, I don't really want to talk about it? Because even to talk about it somehow may challenge me to be or do something different than I'm comfortable with. But Elijah here is someone who follows him with such great faithfulness. And he says, you stay here, I'm going on. No, I'm going with you. As long as I live, as long as you live, I will stand at your side. And so he followed him. Three times this took place. Until finally, after Elijah took off his mantle, rolled it up, struck the rock, and parted the water so that it passed to the other side. He then turns to Elijah and says, what do you want from me? What do you need? And Elijah says, a double of your spirit. He had watched things take place. He had observed how difficult it was to be a spokesperson for God and realized some of the dangers, some of the drawbacks. It's not all fluff and glory. And so if he was going to follow in Elijah's stead, then Elijah needed what he thought a double portion of what Elijah had. Because if Elijah needed this much, I need that much. Or I'm not going to be able to do it. I can't possibly survive the tasks that lie ahead to lead this people of God, which are so numerous. So reluctant, so hesitant, sometimes fighting you to do what God wants them to do. But I want to be a faithful follower. He said, well, if you see me and take up into heaven, it will be granted to you. And that's exactly what happened. Finally, the winds came, took Elijah up. He saw him and cried out to him. And Elijah also became a great prophet, a leader of the people of God. He was not a reluctant servant. He was not a hesitant one. He did not have a reservation about what he was doing. He understood and was willing and bold to go forth to do it. But sometimes we're not quite as bold, not quite as confident, not quite as sure of ourselves, are we? There are sometimes new challenges for us that just seem above our ability. Yet we know that if we follow past examples, and try some of the smaller things and have success, we discover then we may be able to do the larger things and be blessed with success and confidence and certainty to again try and risk again. You know, life is a series of risks. And I guarantee you, having been a scout, I know what it's like to have to do some stuff, to try to work towards some badges, to try to do some things I've never done before, but I'm going to try it. And not only am I trying it by myself, but I'm trying because others are helping me. I'm not doing it alone. I've got others who can give guidance to me, mentor me, shepherd me, pick me up when I fail. It is the gift of the community of scouting that allows for us to enter into this venture for ourselves, right? And what we discover is a whole host of wonderful things that happens in our life. To do things we never thought we'd ever try before. I've done rappelling. It's the most frightening thing in the world the first time. To trust the rope and you're not. The hooks. To lean back off a cliff willingly. And to just let go. The amazing thing is once you go over the frightening ocean, I could die from this. And you do it once, you can't help but get back up again and want to do it one more time. Because you begin to discover the incredible feeling is to launch yourself in trust to something else. You know, faith is that way, isn't it? Sometimes it's a launch. I remember being hesitant to go into ministry, and then I took a couple days off when I was engaged with my wife and said, well, I'm not so sure about this. I'd like to think about it. You can imagine how she felt about that. And then I came back and said, you know, no, I really believe this is it. Well, she had heard the story about me being hesitant to ministry, and she'd heard, experienced the hesitancy to be married. And so when she announced to me that she was pregnant, you know what she told me? You don't get to hesitate on this. There's no turning back. Right? You know, sometimes we make choices in life and then thrust all kinds of other choices and options in front of us, and they call us to do even more incredibly wondrous, dangerous, challenging, delightful things. Life is filled with that. Anybody who's been an officer in the church, as a trustee or a deacon or as an elder, knows how fearful it is to take it seriously. But to know the blessings, if you're about the things God wants you to be about, that God honors that. God honors our efforts to get beyond our hesitation, beyond our reservations, and to boldly attempt to live for Him. And the gospel lesson is that kind of story. The story of one who had unqualified devotion to God. Jesus, the key to so many things in our life. The one who showed us the way to live and to love and to care and to forgive and to go beyond ourselves and to try, even in the face of opposition. He wanted the disciples to know that He took His closest disciples and took them up onto a hill. And before their eyes, He was transfigured, became brilliant, glowing, almost like He was God. Gosh, maybe He was. Literally glistened in the sense of this shining personality that stands above all other lights in the darkness, that shows us something far more powerful and wonderful we ever could imagine. It's that one, which is the light of the world. That's who we worship each and every Sunday, isn't it? One who went before us. But He knew it would be hard for the disciples to understand that for Him, the cost of His faithfulness was going to be His life. It's going to be His life. And there, in the midst of this glorious setting, appears two figures in history, significant figures in history. Not just any two. Two of the most important. Elijah, the greatest prophet of all, and Moses, the giver of the law. And Jesus is talking casually to these people who long gone out of history, from anyone's experience. And in that moment, they're sharing a conversation. And I love Peter, because Peter's like so many of us, he wants to capture the moment. He wants to take a selfie with him and Jesus and Elijah and Moses. Won't that be a great thing to show others? I was up here in this. Let's stay up in the mountain. Let's build three booths. Let's not get over this excitement. It's great when it's going well. Let's stay up here. But Jesus knew they needed to go back into the valley of everyday living. And knew that they would face challenges as well. He told them on the way down, don't tell anyone until I've risen. But I'm going to suffer and I'm going to die. Telling them that they may have to suffer a bit too and to die a little bit to themselves. But to know that there is something coming out of that that is glorious and wonderful. The passages today talk about, although we sometimes are hesitant, reluctant, yet God in us boldly asks us to live faithfully, boldly, confidently, to show an example of who we are. I hear some people ask me the question, very appropriate. I understand that Lent is about upon us, starts this week. Starts on Wednesday with Ash Wednesday. And I need to let you know that ashes on your forehead is not a Catholic thing. It's a Christian thing. What it says is, I have been born unto dust and I'll return to dust. This life is mortal. But I believe in one who gives life out of dust. And I mark myself because I want everyone to know that I believe in a God that is greater than that. I want to be known as somebody who's a follower of his. I don't want to hide the fact that I'm a Christian. I want to boldly proclaim I am. Scouts know that it's God and country. It's both and. But if one has to give allegiance to one over the other, it's Christ above country. It is the highest level of commitment because it encompasses every part of our life and our souls. And our it demands our all. But can we live it boldly, confidently, knowing that we are not alone? We are given a community to help us, a community to guide us, to shepherd us, to help us lift wounds and to redefine and understand the way in which one can live, to pick up the pieces and try once more. God calls us to, without hesitation, without reservation, to commit our lives to Him. Fully and completely, as Elijah did in Elijah, and as Jesus did in God. So we are called to do as well.
Thank you.
your bulletin printed, let us share in ancient statements.